An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean. Narrated by the author. Chapter 13. Trapped. Flea and the two burly men he'd ordered to accompany him stood at the edge of the large clearing with the never tree and its circle of hollowed-out snags. A glance at the stars told him midnight approached, the perfect hour for a bit of mischief. They'd cached their rowboat at the mouth of Kidd's Creek, ready transportation for 4, 3 pirates and 1 captive. This should be easy. Flea grinned and stared at the tree's dim bulk. The barest light came from a slightly smoking pile of coals. Campfire remains. He'd seen the blaze from a distance, on the journey upstream. What one little girl needed with a fire that size, he'd no idea. In the tree above hung the slim hammock he'd spotted on his last trip here. The girl slept up there. Peter Pan's heir, the captain had said. Flea crossed his fingers behind his back to ward off evil. The flying lad in green had been nothing but trouble, but this little lass couldn't be anything like him. Eyeing the downed tree limbs they'd chosen as tools, Flea nodded to the other pirates. "All right, men," he whispered, "according to the plan. Mind you, be quiet. The scurvy little fairy should be aboard the Jolly Roger with the cap'n, but in case she's here, we doesn't want to wake her." They made their way across the clearing. Flea held up his hands to halt the procession each time one of them stepped on a twig or a pine cone. When all remained quiet, they tiptoed on. At last, they reached the base of the tree. With silent direction from Flea, the two burly pirates each raised one end of their tree limb into the air until it touched an end of the hammock. "Either this will work, or the hammock will come tumbling down," Flea thought. "Steady," he breathed. Sure enough, just as he'd hoped, the sticky spider webbing stuck to the limbs, effectively severing the hammock from the hollow tree. "Down we go! Easy!" He gestured with both hands, palms down, in case his barely spoken command hadn't been heard. The men lowered their load, equalizing the weight hand over hand as it dropped. Flea held his breath while the hammock settled to the ground like a leaf landing on water. The girl slept on. He stepped closer and looked at the child lying on her back, completely unaware of her situation. Signaling the others to move in with rope, he pressed a broad palm over her mouth. The girl woke at his touch, eyes wide and alarmed. She shouted beneath his muffling hand and flailed about, but she was no match for 3 pirates. In moments they had her gagged and bound. "Might as well use the hammock to carry her to the boat," Flea whispered, although why he was still whispering when they'd already sprung their trap he'd no idea. His 2 companions hefted the load to their shoulders, grumbling at the sticky sensation. "Quiet," Flea growled. It just seemed right to be quiet on a night like this. Leaning over the girl, he smoothed her hair. She jerked away. "See here now, little miss," he said. "You're in good hands. Go back to sleep, why don't you? We've a bit of a trip ahead of us." Piper grit her teeth around the nasty gag in her mouth. It tasted of sweat and fish guts. She'd no doubt they were taking her to Captain Littlejack. Misery dragged at her like a sinking stone. She'd allowed herself to be caught, unarmed and unaware. None of the girls would know what had happened to her. Although she'd shown them the general direction of Kidd's Cove and the Jolly Roger, they didn't really know where it was. Of course, it would take some time for them to be concerned at her absence. Her connection to them was still so tenuous. She couldn't be sure they'd come after her at all. If they came for her, they'd walk right into a trap, sure as she lived and breathed. Actually, she should say, sure as she lay curled in the wet hull of a rowboat, bound and gagged. Who knew how long she'd live and breathe? One good thing, they were traveling downstream on what could only be Kid's Creek, which meant they weren't traveling to the Dragon's Lair, at least not yet. She needed to buy herself some time. Belle would show up at camp tomorrow morning, wanting to teach the girls to fly. The fairy would figure out what had become of Piper, or Trouble, as she insisted on calling her. She would tell the girls to stay put. Belle had said children weren't ripe enough for Cinqueraz's taste, but Piper wasn't so sure. If the beast was hungry enough, it would probably eat anything. Pip shuddered. Very little remained alive on the Neverland. Just a band of smelly pirates, an old pixie, some insects, and now Pan and her not-quite-merry band. Unfortunately, the latter would be the sweetest choice. She wouldn't have the destruction of those girls on her hands. They might not be her friends yet, but she was responsible for bringing them here. Nothing terrible could happen to them. She'd do anything to stop that. Obviously, the pirates took her for easy bait. She flushed as she realized that's exactly what she'd been. All she could do now was play on their assumptions. She lay in the creaking rowboat, stared at the faint, faraway stars, and tried frantically to think of a plan. Captain Littlejack glanced out his porthole. The moon's round face peered back, already floating well above the choppy horizon. She was late. Not that that should surprise him. Tiny though she might be, Belle was every inch a lady. And a lady always takes her time. He checked the table for the umpteenth time. Gold flatware shone, reflecting the soft light of a dozen lit candles. The white linen tablecloth set off the crystal glassware and china plates. Belle's place setting mirrored his in miniature. He'd ordered them made long ago, when they first celebrated his captaincy. He'd still been but a boy. Her woven rattan chair, cushioned with down, hung suspended from the ceiling at just the right height. Sometimes, when they shared a meal, he set her place on a miniature table in the birdcage and hung it close by so they could dine at eye level. But he thought her having to look up to meet his eyes tonight would be just right. Perfection, he gloated aloud. Unconsciously, he sharpened his hook on the steel of his claw arm. She'll fall for it hook, line, and sinker. His brow furrowed. As long as she received my invitation. If she'd been with Peter's heir at the Nevertree the entire time since she'd last been here, there was a chance she'd missed it. As if in answer to his concern, the tinkle of bells sounded outside the porthole. Belle's light glowed, eclipsing the moonlight. The captain let her in with a bow. "Welcome, my dearest godmother. I'm so glad you could join me. You look absolutely exquisite." He didn't have to pretend that, anyway. She wore a gown of white iridescent feathers, exceeded in their delicate shimmering only by her magical fairy wings. Emerald jewelry sparkled, lending splendor to her green eyes. Her hair might be a shade less fiery than when she'd been young, but hardly noticeably. Literally crowning it all, a diamond tiara rested on her pixie head. Looking away, Little Jack coughed to cover his smile. He'd learned his pretensions from a master. "That's what I'd call gilding the lily," he said, with a straight face. "Do I, or do I not, know how to dress for a celebration?" Belle posed, arms extended, awaiting his compliment. "You do indeed," he said. It certainly was a pity she'd traded away the bloom of her youth, he thought. At one time she'd appeared more like an older sister beside him than the grandmother she was now. A fairy-sized sister, of course, but when it came to beauty, a pirate captain needed a showy woman at his side. Belle had always served. Size simply didn't matter when it came to her. But since she'd traded away those 20 years, her looks only reminded him of his own dreaded future. "Bah," he thought, "I'm in my prime. Old age is a long way away." Staring at Belle, his longing for affection and approval rose unbidden. "I've missed you," he blurted, and then regretted it. Blast it all! He needed to be the one in charge tonight. "Of course you have." Belle smiled and curtsied low. "I've missed my little boy Jack." Realizing his admission could be used to his advantage, he relaxed. "Please, my dear godmother." He inclined his head, directing her to her seat with a flourish. "I'm so looking forward to our evening." If she only knew how much. He narrowed his eyes at the lines around her eyes and mouth. If it weren't for the dragon's hidden treasure, the life elixir, he'd have said Belle's trade wasn't worth it. Youthful beauty couldn't be matched by maturity, not in his eyes. But this was no time to point that out to her. Their meal went on and on. The food was divine, the service silent and expedient. The ship's larder had been newly stocked. During his latest raid for Sinkaraz, little Jack had pillaged the kitchens of the well-to-do as well as the homeowners themselves. Caviar, champagne, salmon mousse, French onion soup, filet mignon, roasted guinea hens, asparagus, butternut squash, petit pois, raspberry mint sorbet, crème brûlée, and chocolate mousse. Not to mention wine selected for each course, ending with a brandy for him and a tiny glass of port for her. He fairly salivated, knowing all this was only an appetizer, a teaser for the delight yet to come. "Remember the time I loosed bubonic plague on that ship of prisoners?" he chuckled. "How could I forget? You rubbed spoiled meat on the lines, slung them over, and the rats poured aboard." She purred the words. He'd refilled her wine glass liberally. "You didn't even offer to let them join your crew." "I did you proud that day, did I not?" "You've always done me proud, you handsome devil." Her eyelids drooped, flying at half-mast. "Oh, the times we had!" He raised his glass. "Let's drink to them, and to us, godmother and godson." He watched her toss the liquor back in one gulp while he merely sipped his own. "Why'd they ever stop, those good times?" she asked. "Why didn't you leave well enough alone with that dragon? Why did you have to become its keeper and feed it people and let the Neverland be ravaged? Why," she glared with all the fierceness a drunken fairy can summon, "why wasn't I more important to you?" "That's what I wanted to say tonight." Little Jack fluttered his eyelashes at her, knowing she was too far gone to think it odd. "Belle, I've been blind. I should never have let you go. A boy always needs his mother. I want you to come back. Please, be the queen of my realm. Look after me like you always have." Belle blinked, confusion on her face. I can't. How can I come back to a son who is destroying my world?" "Oh, Belle," little Jack got down on one knee. "I'll give it all up for you." He gloried in the sheer melodrama of his performance. He amazed himself. Nothing short of award-winning. "Me hands mean nothing compared to you. I thought they were a dream, but no, you are my dream, my Belle, my own fairy godmother." Oh, he could retch. How disgusting. Belle positively melted. "My dear little Jack, bring my world back to life and we'll find another way to get you hands. We'll storm the seas and steal booty enough to buy you the best." She sank in her chair, askew but unable to fully right herself. "I have a gift for you to seal our new partnership, but you must sit up here to receive it." Standing, Little Jack leaned across the table and scooped Belle up on one finger. He carried her to the cage and set her inside on the elegant daybed. He reached into his armoire and brought out a jewel-encrusted net of tiny gold chain link. "What is it?" she asked. "It's beautiful. It looks like a tent for a queen."
"Ah, me bright beauty, it is. I designed it for the nook. It will cover your sweet little castle, and you'll be able to see out, but no one can see in. Protection fit for royalty."
Oh, she gasped, eyes wide.
"Would you like to try it?"
He couldn't control his grin.
"Of course."
She crossed her long fairy legs and clasped her hands in her lap, waiting in anticipation. Little Jack carefully laid the net over the cage. It was long enough to gather together underneath. Pulling the velvet ribbon from his hair, he knotted it tightly.
"You can't see out, can't you, m'lady? You can see out, can't you, m'lady? But I can't see you at all," he laughed. A musical sound, if he said so himself. He'd done it. He'd trapped the wrinkled little broad. She was his to do with as he pleased. She couldn't stop his plans now.
"It's marvelous," Belle sighed. She felt as if she were inside a treasure chest. The golden veil dimmed the light a bit, but what came through from the kerosene lamp and the candle still burning on the table shimmered and sparkled. A tickle of desire, inspired by the gold and jewels, swelled. She stretched out a hand to touch the precious stuff, but it hung out of her reach. All she had to do was rise to her feet and stroll a few paces, but at the moment it seemed far too difficult. Instead, she giggled with pleasure, knowing her prodigy had grown up to be not only ingenious but generous as well. He would always treat her in the royal manner she deserved. Belle attempted to suppress a yawn, but it won the battle. She felt so very tired, and when she moved, everything seemed to spin. From very far away, she heard a voice.
"Ship ahoy! Request permission to come aboard with a prisoner, Cap'n."
She knew that voice. It belonged to a mutt of a man. Flea, wasn't it? She needed to sit up, to pay attention. What prisoner could he be bringing aboard at this hour? She shook her head. Her eyes wouldn't stay open, and her body felt like seaweed, adrift on a vast ocean. Belle tried to follow the line of thought, but it kept dividing, arcing like a rainbow, and finally dissolved completely into gray mist.